The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
And we welcome you back, and great to have all of you with us here on a Friday night. Let's get back to the calls, and Jim is up next.
Okay, Paul, I'm just, I'm calm and happy. They can do whatever they want to, and you can do whatever you want to say about me, anything. It doesn't bother me anymore. I'm glad. But I just want to, you know, I like to set the record straight. And I think I'm an honest enough guy to do that. Maybe you're an honest enough guy to let me do it, and I think you'll see what I'm talking about. That old fat ass, and I can't help it, he's a fat ass old liar, Greg Subpar Submarine Man, just lied as you know what off. Paul, I got kicked off Twitter with about 10,000 or more people because I was a Trump supporter, and they kicked us all off last January the 8th, you know, of a year ago, after the episode on January the 6th. And I had nothing to do with it. It's just all Trump supporters were kicked off at the same time. I think you're aware of that, aren't you?
Yeah, I am aware of that. And I was trying to, that's what I thought he was talking about. I wasn't really sure
No, he was trying to say that he actually said, oh, Paul, Jim got kicked off Twitter because of the things he said, nasty things he said about you. Well, that's a lie. That's a total lie. In fact, I already tweeted about you back then. I was, you know, still part of the show. But my point is, it's just another outrageous lie where somebody's trying to implicate me over something I did nothing about. I did not do that. You know, that gets me excited. And I appreciate you letting me set the record straight, because that's a fact, what I tell you. And I know you understand what I'm saying.
No, I do. And I, you know, listen, we can argue about other things, but I do believe in fairness, and I think you deserve the right to set the record straight.
Well, I appreciate that, and you're right. I believe in fairness, too. I'd let you on, because that burns me up. They can say I'm sorry, whatever they want to say. They might be right about a lot of things, I'm not lying, but, you know, I have my right to my opinion. Between me and you, I disagree with but that's not the point. The point is, he came out and blatantly lied because he don't like me. We've had arguments on Twitter. I talked about him. And that's mostly what these guys have been coming at me about for the last week, because they don't like me. Well, I don't care whether they like me or not. You don't care whether they like you or not. That's what Legend's talking about when he says the black hat. We don't give a crap what these idiots think about us. We tell what we believe is the truth, and that's all. And I'm telling you the truth. Greg's a liar.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, because Jim, I didn't know what he was talking about.
By the way, since I'm on, I'm going to say this, because I know this guy. I don't know him, but I know his family. I know the family of the wife that he had before she divorced him, Susan Woodley. She was a beautiful woman.
You're talking about
and
Hal?
I know her family. I thought, yeah. Hal Raines, boy, you're getting blistered on that one, boy. Hey, you're getting blistered. He's the New York Slimes, and that's what I think of him. And I think, you know, but that's just what he's about. He's a smart guy. But he's on the wrong team.
Yeah, and Jim, I know some people may not really believe this. My objection was not to talk about anything other than the role that Saban was playing. I think it's a non-starter.
I didn't hear the call, and I'm going to go back and listen to the call. I'm going to go back and listen to Hal Raines.
It's a non-starter to debate that bill, because it's not going to be passed. It's already been shot down.
I thought it's over. It's over. They
exactly.
killed it.
Exactly. And the intent to bring it up was pure politics. I mean, they knew it wasn't going to pass.
Exactly. They're still trying to push it like Schumer wants to do. And Pelosi is doing that. That's all they're about. They just keep pushing, Paul, and we.
But that's the only reason I tried to circumvent the last caller. It wasn't that I disagreed politically. It was the fact that I just didn't. I just don't want to relitigate something that's already dead.
Yeah, I understand that.
I wanted from Hal was he had covered Bryant,
you're gonna get the other stuff, Paul. That goes with Hal Raines. He's a blatant Democrat. You know that.
Well, that none of that matters to me. I think you know that.
It matters to the public when they hear the guy.
Well,
that's what matters.
And I felt like because he had criticized Bryant on race, he was an interesting person to talk to.
I didn't know he did that. I actually didn't know he did that.
Oh, yeah. No, it was a very famous article that came out after Bryant retired, but before Bryant died.
About Hal Raines?
Yeah, Hal wrote it in the New Republic. It's a fascinating article, and
I wish. How can I get that? I'd like to read that.
I tell you what, I dug it up because I used it in a speech about a month ago. Just go to the New Republic and Google Hal. He describes Tuscaloosa in the '60s as well as I've ever seen it described. And that part of it I appreciated, but he wrote in that article that Bryant was the only criticism you could have of Bryant was that he was slow to integrate, and he also pretty much said that Alabama football will never be this great again, and that was my favorite takeaway from it.
What great again? You mean?
Well, no. He essentially said in this article that came out in January of 1983. That he is going to step away from being an Alabama fan because it will never be
what it
was.
He said they would never be as great as Bryant had them, and they become greater under Saban.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And now they won't Saban as president. But I love it. You got a phenomenal show, I have to admit.
Well, I appreciate that. That means a lot. It's been a rocky week. I feel like we're ending it on a high note.
Hollywood can't write this. No. Hollywood cannot write this.
But you can write it.
I can write it. I will write it and you can write that, Paul. Write that, Paul.
The two of us are the only people that know what that means.
Exactly. And Tommy Tuberville knows.
Well, I don't know if he's listening, but if he is, I'm glad he is.
All right. Thank you for letting me.
Okay. Thank you very much. We go from Jim to Joe. Joe is in Red Bay.
How's it going, Paul Feinbaum?
Joe, what a pleasure.
Well, and don't get me wrong. I do like Jim, but I guess he thinks he's as important as Trump. Like that's something to brag about getting kicked off of Twitter. But, 10,000 followers, what he said he has. I mean, there's more people with that just in the small county I live in. And, he's not Marjorie Taylor. He's not, Joe. He's not none of these people that's real big that has hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of people following them on Twitter. But if you're small like that, I've had like 2,000 people that Twitter took off from following me on Twitter.
Oh,
before.
No, listen, last January, I bet in the aftermath of the insurrection, we lost on our account, on the show's account, 50,000 Twitter followers.
Yeah,
they went in there, and I don't know if you had certain things connected to Trump or MAGA or other things in your Twitter that you got wiped out, we took a major hit, as many others did as well.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, it happened. To big guys like you and the small people like me, but I didn't get kicked off Twitter.
No,
but they did. They did all. I mean, it was they did it, after like what you said last January, they took a bunch of followers off that just, they did it themselves. And it wasn't that people just didn't like you and quit following you. It's just something that Twitter did.
Well, they were very, I've never understood, I don't, there are certain things about public speech that bother me, but I would never, ever, ever censor someone. And it bothers me when Twitter and other organizations try to do that. It's not right.
Right. Well, I mean, they're trying to force an agenda on.
Yeah.
I mean, it's no secret. That's what they're trying.
Yeah. There's
to do.
There's a difference, Joe, in putting things out that are, that are dangerous to society. But who decides that though?
Right. Right. And it's like, they flagged me on Twitter because I said that, the vaccine isn't 100%. You can still get it.
Well, that's pretty
kind of like the flu. You can get the flu shot and still get the flu.
Oh,
but
sure.
That was not inaccurate information. I wasn't lying about that.
Well, there are plenty of people right there. There are plenty of people that can back you up on that.
Oh yeah, my daughter-in-law's got it right now. My son and grandchild, and they've been vaccinated.
Sure. Oh no, I mean it's happening every day of the week.
But the good thing about this, what's going around now, is it's not as bad as what the Delta variant was. And from what I understand, probably everybody's going to get this Omicron variant. But, you know, like every neighbor I've had has had it. And I've got a head cold now. It ain't bad enough to go to the doctor, but I'm still quarantined just in case. Because, you know, you never know. But everybody
I mean, listen, you know, I'm somebody who has traveled quite a bit this fall. I mean, you've got to be tested. I'm more concerned about other people getting it from me than I am about getting it from them.
Yeah, I am too. I am too, Paul. And but I do want to say this. I want to hope, you know, good luck to Alabama gymnast tonight. I know it's later before they start their meet. But, you know, that was the time Alabama had a good gymnastics program going on.
When Sarah Patterson was their coach, they won, six national championships, something like that.
Yeah. Sarah Patterson, she was the best. And, you know, in my book, as far as gymnastics coach, she was the best.
She was.
I mean, because she kept them on their A game.
She was fantastic. You know, well, Joe, listen, thanks for everything this week. You take care of yourself. Gary is up next.
Hello, Paul.
Hey, Gary.
I'm Gary Mack from Rainbow City, Alabama.
Wonderful.
First off, I got a question, and then I would like to make a little statement after you answer my question, if you don't mind.
No. I don't mind.
Okay. The question I've got, these juniors that go in to sign up for the draft, if they don't get drafted, are they eligible to go back to playing football? Or do they have to become a free agent?
Well, in football, once you declare, you are done. Basketball has a grace period, but football, it's a little bit different.
Okay. I didn't know. That was my question. Now, as far as the statement I wanted to make,
okay,
I am an Alabama conservative.
Okay.
However, I would like to say this about some of the things that my conservative brothers have told about the, now I know all this is done past, but when they go to telling you about these mail-in ballots and just sending them out to everyone, that is not the case. Whenever you are given a mail-in ballot, you are given a voter ID number. And you are the only one that has that number. They cannot anybody else put that number down except for you.
Okay.
And they don't just give them to ever Tom, Dick, and Harry. You must put that voter ID number down on a mail-in ballot. And it has to be accurate. They are telling you wrong when they tell you that stuff. All right. Another thing I don't like is just some of the lies they tell. I am a truth man. I'm a Christian. I love the Lord. But I think the truth should come out, especially about that insurrection that happened. That tore me up more than anything else from Trump's lies. And that's what lies does to this country. And deception, that is how Satan takes over. Paul, I thank you for letting me speak my piece.
Well, Gary, you be well and take care of yourself, and we'll talk to you soon. Thank you very much. We're up against a break. Back with more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We welcome you back. Great to have all of you here on a Friday night. Let's check in with Diego. Go right ahead, Diego.
What's up, Paul? So I'll make it quick. I lived in Tennessee, Middle Tennessee. I think we moved out here in 99. Moved out here as a teenager. I got into radio. It's kind of been doing that. I've been doing the radio thing ever since. Being from the Bay Area, you know, we don't, California, you know how it is. College isn't a big deal to us that much. I'm an SC fan. So it's kind of sacrilege being from the Northern California,
right.
You know, and loving a Southern California team, hate the Dodgers, hate the Lakers, so on and so forth. So college football, when I moved out here, was still kind of cool to me because at that time, you know, SC, we were doing our thing. We had Papa Pete Carroll running the show and paying everybody and their brother, I guess, we come to find out, including Reggie Bush's mother and buying houses and whatnot. And so we go into the long lull and then the SEC. I'm living here, you know, in Middle Tennessee. I live right between Nashville and Knoxville. So I have to deal with the UT fans here now, you know, next year's our year and this is our year. And then the Vandy fans that are like, we're just happy that we have a football team. And I've just hated the SEC for years. And I still do, I'll be honest. But through the years, and I've tried to call a couple times through the years, I've listened to your show. And somehow, some way, with all the chaos, you're basically the ringleader of the chaos of the South for football. Pro, college, don't matter. You've made it so enjoyable. Like, this is my drive home time, coming in from Nashville every night. I listen to you basically every night. I just listen to everybody rant and rave. You're the man. Like, you know, you got Stern, Shock Jock, you got Man Cow, True Radio DJ, Paul Feinbaum, sports guru. Love you, man. Love the show. Keep doing what you're doing.
Diego,
we appreciate it.
Thank you very much. That is quite some company there, especially Stern. Squirrel is up next.
Man, I really appreciate the Black Hat Ringleader taking my call today. And
I got it on
right
now.
You know, I like Greg. Pardon me? You got one on right now? That's good. I like Greg's call. I always do and appreciate his service, but I don't know where he got the facts that Jim got kicked off for saying someone tweeted about you and I, because that's like Jim said, that's incorrect. And he just got his facts wrong. And not all Trump supporters got kicked off Twitter. You know what I mean?
Well, no, he got 80 million. He got 80 million votes. I don't think that many people got deep. Sense.
Yeah. I didn't get kicked off Twitter. I think it was more to it than that to get kicked off during that time. Maybe being a conspiracy theorist or something. I don't know. But that's neither here nor there. Your New York Times guy, I'm sure he's a friend of yours, and I don't mean to say anything bad about a friend of yours, but,
okay.
You know, I've always thought that was a liberal fish wrap. And won't you agree that the New York Times used to be a well-respected newspaper maybe 20, 30 years ago,
for the record, Hal was the editor 20 years ago. He's not there anymore.
Yeah.
And he started there in the 70s.
Yeah.
There was a time when the New York Times, was really the newspaper of record. I would agree with you. I mean, from an editorial
it's
difficult to read.
Yeah, it's a joke now. And lastly, I appreciate the call from the gentleman yesterday that also did time, and he verified the screwdriver possibility. I didn't realize your show was so popular in prisons, but I could see where it would be.
I was blown away. That was Corey. I was blown away by that guy.
I know of
prisoners who have listened because I've been to prisons, and but I didn't realize it was. What do you think makes it? I mean, what do you think makes it this show so popular?
Because it's like a reality show.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's nothing that was scripted. You know, they don't know what the next caller is going to say. And shout out to those guys. You know what I mean? I mean, if this show brings them enjoyment, then like I said, I hope they get to listen to all 4 hours of it. You know, didn't he say that if you disrupted the show, it was possible you'd get shanked?
Yeah, no, he said you did.
You
do not want to get on the bad side of the Feinbaum show followers.
Yeah. And I didn't realize just screwdrivers were just laying everywhere in prisons. I mean, I really didn't know they were as prevalent as he made it sound like.
I'm surprised you didn't know this, Coral, because usually I've been to prisons where I felt like I was at Lowe's.
Well, then maybe they should use those big battery-operated cordless screwdrivers that use a little two-inch little bit that you stick up in there. I mean, it'd be hard to stab somebody with that. So that's just a suggestion, maybe to cut down on crime inside there. But now, like I said, I was just blown away that that you were so popular inside the jails. But I cannot, again.
Well, would you be if we end up doing a prison tour this spring? I thought we'd take four.
I'd be glad to go with you.
I thought you would be great. You would be great.
As long as I could leave when the tour is over.
I told the story once. I was at a prison in Alabama, and everybody started talking to me. And I kind of walked over, and man, I got about three or four guards jumped in the way, said, "Get away!" I mean, like, you're not supposed to go talk to the prisoners. And I'm like, "Well, why not?"
Wow. Now, look, the only time I had to be around a prison, my company sent me in '89 to the Chino Institute for Men down somewhere around San Diego or below Los Angeles. And I remember it was on the always, that's where the criminals went. They got prosecuted by Sergeant Friday. What was that show we used to watch back in those days?
Dragnet.
What was the name of it?
Dragnet.
Dragnet, yeah.
Joe Friday.
And, I remember just like being blown away that I was in the Chino Institute for Men, but I was only there for about 2 or 3 hours, thank goodness. But, yeah, put me down for the tour and put me down for the reality show, the Big Brother house, when we do that.
Well, I think, but, I don't know why, I just think that would be Hollywood gold.
Is Joe and Legend going to be in the house?
I think so. Right now we've got you down, we've got Joe. Once things get really quiet, we'll start casting it, but...
I want you to search them real good for weapons before we go into the house.
By the way, who else do you think we need to get involved, if you had to get two or three other people?
We need Larry in there. We need I-Man. We need Matt. We need Red Dog.
Yeah.
Give me about 3 or 4 minutes.
No rush. I mean, we got to get the contract done first.
Yeah, but put me down. Okay. And have a good weekend. Thanks for taking my call.
Great to hear from you. Pat is up next in Georgia.
Yes. Hey, Paul.
Hey there.
I had a question for you. I grew up an Auburn fan. I'm still an Auburn fan. And you made a comment back in November that when Bo Nix got hurt and was recovering from an ankle injury, you made a comment that you didn't think he was going to come back to Auburn, and he may transfer. And I kind of, was taken aback by that comment because I didn't think that there was any way he would leave. But I was just curious to know, why did you make that comment? What did you know?
Well, what I knew then was, as you go around the SEC, and I go around with a bunch of people who do games and are more inside than I am because I'm sitting in a studio every day, they were telling me that there was a disconnect between Bo and the coaching staff. And it was bad early on, and then it got better when Auburn got on that roll, and then it came undone again. And I just think he wanted a fresh start. Now some of the coaches have already changed, but that's what I was basing it on.
Okay. Well, every time I go to an Auburn website, I'm getting more negative news. Today, Derek Mason is leaving the program.
Yeah, right.
And we've got 15 players that have entered the transfer portal. So it's just like I'm not so sure that.
Yeah, Pat. I'm glad, I have said repeatedly the times I've been around Brian Harsin, I genuinely like this guy, and I'm pulling for him. Although, as I say that, the signals are not very positive. I mean, I know that's not exactly breaking news, but I don't like a lot of what I'm seeing down there. And, the end of the season was a disaster. Recruiting went fairly well, but you can recruit it. You have to pay a lot of attention to recruiting. You also have to compare it to the rivals, which are clearly Georgia and Alabama and LSU and Texas A&M. And you also have to digest, what happens to the players that you have on the roster. And that's really the problem at the moment. Unless Auburn can get some significant players in there, I think there are going to be some issues. Hey, thanks for the call. I need to run here to a break. We're back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We are back, and let's go from the group Alabama to the state of Alabama. Matt is in Mobile. Hello, Matt.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
Very well. Thank you.
Enjoyed your show for a long time. I'm an Alabama fan, and, you know, we love Nick Saban because we hired him to win football games. And so I can only assume that the statements that come out of his mouth have something to do with maybe helping us to win football games. But I would rather him have at least some knowledge behind what he says. So he might need to kind of stick to his day job and not make any more political comments.
Matt, the question I have, though, and I'm curious, you know, the march a year and a half ago was one thing. I mean, that was happening on every college campus. But I'm curious how many of his players, if any, have raised the issue of this bill.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you're elite like that, when you're a successful football coach like he is, you hang out in elite circles. He's probably getting emails from, you know, friends in high places, and he communicates with a lot of friends in high places, and a lot of elite people, you know, they just spout a certain, you know, political things that they hear.
Sure.
And Nick Saban probably commented on something that really he doesn't know a whole lot about, you know, but, and that's okay. I forgive him.
You know, no, I understand, but that's the part about this which baffles me. I think he did the right thing marching with his players, because had he not done that, it would have been a huge story. It caught up to Ed Orgeron. But had Saban not put his name on that letter to Joe Manchin, who would have cared?
Yeah, if his name was just on a letter, that changes the story. I thought he actually said something.
No, all he has done, what's interesting is that, you know, he signed the letter with other West Virginians to a guy that he doesn't need to send a letter to. He could pick up the phone and call. And then Joe Manchin.
Oh, well, if it's on a letter and it's your name's just at the bottom, then that makes a lot more sense to me.
As far as I know, and I feel like I should know this, Saban has not publicly commented beyond that letter.
And another one, can I make one more quick point?
Of course.
You know, if you take the human population in the United States, their average age of death, total human population, is 78.1.
Okay.
If you take the average age of death for someone that's been infected with coronavirus, it's 79.1. So if you get coronavirus, statistically, you're going to live a year longer than if you don't get it. So nobody should fear anything about this virus,
okay,
or any of its variants or anything. The whole thing is propaganda.
Okay, so you're saying if I want to live a year longer, I should go out and try to get it?
Try to get it because statistically you'll live a year longer.
Well, I'm not ready to go yet, so I'm on my way. Hey, thank you for the call. TH is up next in Georgia. Hello, TH.
Hey, Paul. I called you a few days ago this week about my dad with the Georgia signatures. On,
oh, yeah.
He's a diehard Alabama fan.
Absolutely.
Got something else. Basically, I guess you've seen those tags on the front of the car. What is it? Divided household. It's usually either Auburn, Alabama, or Georgia, Georgia Tech, something like that.
Correct.
Well, I can go one further.
Okay.
I actually have a divided mindset because I have a bachelor's degree from Auburn, and I have a graduate degree from the University of Alabama that I earned at the Gadsden Center. Of course, the professors from Alabama come up there. And so when they play that big game, the Iron Bowl, I'm a little perplexed to see where I'm going with. It's really based on who can go to the SEC championship or has the opportunity to win the national championship. But I live in Georgia, so this year I kind of was rooting for the underdog, which, well, I guess Alabama was underdog, but I was kind of rooting for UGA, since they hadn't won anything in like 40-something years.
Well, I understand. Yeah, Alabama, for the record, even though it doesn't seem that way, was the underdog in both games. Michael is up next in Alabama. Hello, Michael.
Hey, how are we doing today?
We are doing great.
Yes, I was first off wanting to say I really enjoy your show. I've been listening for a little while now.
Thank you.
Probably one of your younger listeners. But my main question today is, what's your opinion on JT Daniels entering the transfer portal?
I understand why he did. I just think he probably had enough of the Stetson-Bennett battle, and had Stetson left, he may have stayed. I read something late today that he was talking to Lane Kiffin. I'm sure he's talking to a lot of other coaches as well. But I hope he finds a home. It's really too bad that the way it worked out for him.
Oh, yeah. With all the injuries, injuries can definitely cause some issues. I mean, I've been like my high school days, I actually played basketball, and right towards the end of my sophomore year, I was looking to go play for University of Georgia, play basketball for them, and shortly after I talked to the head coach of the basketball team, I actually shattered my right knee, and my knee's never been the same, so that ended my career. So thankfully with him, his career ain't ended, but hopefully he does end up somewhere where he can show.
Yeah, I mean, he's a really good player, and you know, he looked pretty good at the end of the last season and a few games this year. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Andy is in Birmingham.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. I hope you're having a good day.
We are. Thank you very much.
Just a few things I want to say. First of all, the gentleman that called in from Rainbow City, I think his name was Gary. I just want to say to him, if he's still listening, sir, you are a breath of fresh air, because it all too often nowadays, common sense people on both sides of the aisle are not speaking out like they need to be. And to hear someone with some common sense speak out is very refreshing. But my real point I wanted to make is why Nick Saban chose to endorse the Voting Rights Act.
Yes.
I can almost guarantee that he's heard from players, coaches, staff, about challenges that maybe they've faced voting, or their families or friends have faced voting. And they told him the obstacles that they faced due to things that have been instituted by Republicans and Republican-led states that have made it harder for people to vote. And he's a smart enough man to know that these things are wrong. Everyone has the right to vote, but everyone can't vote because of the obstacles that have been put in place. And I love these people that are calling in saying that Nick Saban doesn't know what he's talking about. Nick Saban is probably one of the smartest men out there. And the fact that they're saying he doesn't know what he's talking about just shows how dumb they are.
I am going to side with you on that one, Andy.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Well, we made it to the end of the week. Appreciate you being a part of the show. We will see you on Monday.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.